This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
A fan favorite, no doubt about it, certainly at Citi Field. Wherever you hear this song, moving forward, you can't help but think of the New York Mets shortstop as we await Francisco Lindor, who is walking over to the phone. I'm being told this is me filling right here. I do love this song. It's a great song. It's a catchy song. It's changed the vibes and energy at Citi Field, and certainly with Francisco Lindor, who has had a... I mean, up and down.
He's changed the vibes and energy of his own, the way he's viewed as a Met.
Remember, there was a point last year where we were talking about Met fans have to go out there and cheer Francisco Lindor and give him some encouragement. They did just that, even when he was struggling to start the year. So it's been an interesting 4 seasons for Francisco Lindor since the Mets made that big move. He was really the first guy that Steve Cohen went out there and acquired him when they made the trade for him. And right now, BT, we welcome in the Mets shortstop, the should have been MVP of the National League, Francisco Lindor. What's up, Francisco? It's BT and Sal on the Fan.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Good, Francisco, and we appreciate you taking the time. First one for me, we're just talking about your song, My Girl, and your relationship with the Mets fans. Going into year 5, how would you characterize your relationship right now with the New York Mets fan base?
Well, I've been loving them since day one. I'm sure they love me in day one, you know, and now I think we're in a much better spot because I gave them some results.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. Like, we wanted to love you day one, but then the struggles were there. You had the ups and downs stuff. So it took a little while to get here. But I think right now, Francisco, you have gotten to a point where you have become not only a fan favorite, but you're going to be one of the more beloved figures in the history of the franchise. To come from where you did after year one and those early struggles, that's a big deal where you're at now going into year 5.
We just got to win. That's all I want to do. We win, and I'm sure everyone wants results, and they want to win championships. So I think if that happens, I think their relationship will be even better.
There you go.
That is true.
Listen, we've talked. It's great to have you on the show, and we've talked a lot about you on the show. And so it's good to really have you on to do this. And I got to tell you, man, just shooting as straight as I possibly could, the thing that I think was a little tough for me analyzing you as a Met is that I watched with the Guardians. I'm like, this guy's a superstar. And the numbers weren't quite that here. And I said it. And Met fans got all over me. You know, the slow starts. But I always thought you had the character to succeed here. Was there a point, Francisco, where looking back early during your Met time, you're like, man, if I don't get this thing going fast, I'm gonna get swallowed up by New York. Did you feel like for a while that it wasn't a good fit for you?
No, not at all.
Never.
From day one. So, no. From day one, I felt like this was a great place to be, and this is where I wanted to be, you know. And I think it was a fantastic decision by me and my family to stay here, and I appreciate the Colin family for allowing me to stay here. I honestly feel that anywhere you go, you're going to struggle. You're going to ups and downs. You're going to learn, and you become a more mature player, and you become a better human being. That's where we are today, you know?
No doubt. And I think your accountability is what has kept you in great graces. I mean, it's different, though, scuffling here. And I don't want to make this about scuffling too much because the South said you didn't win the MVP.
It sounds like that's what you guys want to talk about.
No. Francisco, I don't want to do this to you. I want to know what we've talked about. I want you to know what we've talked about so we can get to the better place that you deserve. And I mean that sincerely.
I appreciate that, man.
I can't be any more forthright than I am right now. If you didn't have the heart and the talent and the mind, I don't think that you do. I don't think that it would have worked out for you. That honestly, here, like you are now one of the megastars in the city. And how exciting is it for you to now have new pieces, new expectations, and now we bridge to the good stuff? Now the Mets are supposed to win. What does that feel like?
I'm blessed to be in the position I'm in, and the organization is putting in the same amount of effort that we all the players are putting in on the field, you know. And it's just, when you have those things, you can only hope for good things, you know. It's one of those where you go out and you give everything you got, and we're in a place where we got a better team. Now it's on us, you know. The front office did their job. They put a good team on the field, and now it's on us. We got to stay healthy, and we got to go out there and compete and give everything we got. Try to win a championship, you know. That's the dream. That's the goal. And to me, seasons, you can have a good season, but a successful season, it's when you win.
BT, it's Alan the Fan. We're talking with Mets shortstop Francisco Lindor. What happened, Francisco, taking off last year once you were put in the leadoff spot? Was it a lack of, you know, pressure being taken off? Why the success after being moved into the leadoff spot?
I don't know. I take a lot of pride in posting up and trying to be the best version of myself. And I felt like at some point it was just a matter of just getting going, you know. I knew I wasn't going to continue to hit 180. It's just tough, you know. I think that was probably the floor. So there was only but to go up from there, you know. The coaches did a fantastic job of helping me day in and day out. And Mendy did a good job of encouraging me to go out there day in and day out and give everything I got. And then you learn from your teammates. You learn from everyone around. And that's all I did. I believe in what I can do. And I rely on others to continue to push me. And I push myself. And it worked out.
So, Francisco, you look at the first five, maybe even six hitters. Obviously, Alvarez with the injury, which is a tough blow for you guys to start the season. You know, last year, you and Pete, coming into the year before Vientos established himself, had to carry the offense, for at least on paper, coming in. Now you got Soto, you got Pete back. Vientos looks like a stud. You know, the length 1-5, could this be the best 1-5 in baseball?
If we get it done, yes. We have the potential, but we got to get it done. You know, we have a good lineup on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And paper is one thing, and getting it done is a completely different thing. You know, like I said, the front office did a fantastic job of putting a good team together. It's on us. It's on the players.
Yeah.
The players have to go out there and get it done, you know, and ultimately, that's how you build a great relationship with the fan base. You put up the result for the people who love you.
There's no doubt. So it's Francisco Lindor, BT and Sound on the Fan. Now, we've seen the videos going back to last year, maybe even the year before. You know, you working with the young kids, spring training, a lot of defense, Vientos. Can you explain, because you went through this, all the great players go through it, and everybody, even if you're not great, but from year one to year two, when you have success and you're young, What is Vientos going to have to do to adjust to the changes that the league will make to him? And do you talk to him about it?
I think he's got to continue to stay with himself. The minute you start thinking you're better than what you actually are, that's when things can start falling apart. He's got to continue to stay being Mark Vientos. You know, he's a fantastic player, and he already proved that he can do it in this level, and he's got to go out there and continue to do the same thing day in and day out and not let the external talk or the external energy get in himself and just, you know, think that he's bigger than the game, because no one is bigger than the game.
You know, it's different for you, Francisco, going into year five here now in New York. It's another year under your same manager and Carlos Mendoza. BT just mentioned you got Soto behind you in a deep lineup. You know that you're going to be leading off going in. What are you going to do to change the slow starts that you've had throughout the course of your career?
I guess hit the ball in the barrel. I honestly feel like it's one of those where, you know, you control what you can control, and controlling is the only thing I can control is the process, and I'm locked in and going to a good process and staying with it myself and swinging at the pitches I want to swing at and not trying to do too much. And then whatever happens, it happens, you know. I'm sure I'm going to struggle at some point this year. It just looks a little uglier when there's not too many points on the scoreboard, you know.
Yeah, and then you turned into an MVP last year after the slow start. And the thing that bothers me about it, Francisco, and I feel bad for you because you've gotten snubbed three times here as a Met, at least three times from being an All-Star, but a part of that has to be the slow starts. Does it mean anything to you to be an All-Star for the New York Mets for this year?
I would love to. I would love to be an All-Star, you know. I don't play for those things, you know. I play to win, but along a good year, you know, you get accolades like that. And to me, the All-Star game is the biggest and the best event of the summer. And it would be fantastic to represent the New York Mets. But at the end of the day, you know, the people didn't feel like I was an All-Star, and the players didn't feel like I was an All-Star. So I haven't been an All-Star, you know. At the end of the day, I just got to go out there and put up better numbers. And then hopefully I get recognized as an All-Star.
Yeah, and if I remember right, you were actually mic'd up in the last All-Star game that you played, right? If I have that right, was that the last one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember that. It was good. All right, so you didn't get the All-Star. You very well might become the captain of the New York Mets. And we've heard former Mets talk about it, whether it's David Wright, your manager's been asked about it. I don't think it's a matter of if, but when. It's going to happen, and at this point, you will have earned it for sure. Do you think about it? I know you're a team guy, but that's got to mean something special to you. What do you think?
I mean, it'll be an honor and a privilege. You know, this is an organization that I've had it in previous years, and it's a prestigious thing. You know, it's an honor to wear the C in the chest. You know, if the organization feels like I'm the guy and people in here want me to be it, at the end of the day, I won't really change. I will continue to be who I am. I'm Francisco Lindor, and I got to go out there and get it done day in and day out and post up and stay true to who I am. You know, I can't tell Mark to not stay true to who he is if I don't stay true to who I am,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, when you hear the term or the word captain, what characteristics do you think are needed to be a captain? What does it mean to you?
Well, you have to be accountable. You have to lead by example. You have to respect your peers. And you got to help others feel welcome and feel like they have a voice as well. You know, like for me, the term of captain is not like, oh, this guy's going to make every decision. No, that's not how it goes. You know, for me, it's about making sure the clubhouse continues to stay loose and, you know, and have fun and keeping guys accountable, but also keeping myself accountable, you know, and it also comes with like a lot of, you know, like honor, you know, you have to have a lot of like feel the honor to wear the Mets uniform. You have to feel like this is where you want to be, and you want to improve the organization and make the organization the best place that it could be. So that's kind of how I view it. For me, a captain is someone that leads by example, somebody that stays accountable, is there when it's needed, and when it's not needed, is also there. And somebody that also makes others feel welcome and to be wanted to be a part of this organization.
BT and Sal on the Fan, we're talking with Francisco Lindor, and you certainly do lead by example going out there playing hurt, no matter the circumstance. Your wife just gives birth. You go back out there and try to be a part of the team. Is there any thought, Francisco, to maybe lessen the load and not post every day? I know that's important to you, and it's one of the things that is great about you, but you want to be fresh and healthy going into the postseason. Maybe last year you banged up a little bit. Is there any thought to maybe getting some rest along the way throughout the course of the grueling 162?
No, not at all. I take a lot of pride in posting up. I mean, if I want to be fresh for October, lift more weights and eat better and sleep.
Hey, look, you look good to me beating the Braves, that home run against the Braves. You beast, Francisco. You're a beast, and I loved every second of it. That was awesome against the Braves.
Oh, it was fun. I was waiting for that voice. Yeah. I was waiting.
There you go, Sal. You're running around the bases as cool and calm as collected, Francisco, hitting one of the bigger home runs in Mets history against the freaking Braves, finally slaying the Dragon, and you were just like, yeah, hey, this is what I do.
I was tired. My back hurt, and I was going crazy inside, but I knew that the job wasn't finished. You know, you got to finish the job. It's not about playing 24 outs. You got to play those 27 outs, and until it's not sealed, we don't celebrate.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, like, really, take us back to the back issue. Like, how jacked up were you? Seriously.
It hurt a lot. It hurt a lot, but we have a fantastic training staff here that helped me get through it, you know, and a lot of people pray for me, and I felt good enough to go out there day in and day out for the remainder of the year. And it was just, you know, like the way I tell a lot of people, my problems with baseball are Disney problems. I heard that a long time ago, and I kind of took that to heart. I was like, the problems that we face in baseball are Disney problems, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
The real world.
No doubt. So you got a new teammate. Obviously, Soto is going to be right behind you, you know, doing damage like he always does. And while you gain somebody, we weren't sure if you were going to lose an old teammate in Pete Alonso. So, you know, how concerned were you that Pete was going to leave? And did you have contact with Pete? You know, obviously, you got to let him do his thing, I guess. But, you know, were you worried that Pete was going to leave the Mets?
I always have faith that he was going to come back, and he felt like the Mets was the place for him to be, and he's ready to break the home run record.
That simple, huh? I mean, because the lineup wouldn't seem the same. I mean, I know what Soto brings in a full year of Vientos. I got it. And hopefully when Alvarez comes back and he's healthy and he takes a step forward like we think he can. You know, last year, like, the numbers for Pete were good, but for Pete, they were down. I mean, I expect Pete to bang 40 bombs again this year. I mean, you guys, and I don't know how close you were to losing it, but if I'm you and I'm the other guys on the team, you know, I would have been paying attention every day. That's just me, though. He's still a player, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm very aware of the things that are happening, and I'm a fan of the game as well. So, of course, I wanted him to make the best decision for himself, and selflessly, I wanted him to come back. And him being here, he makes our team better. He lengthens our lineup, and I can't wait. You know, he's going to have another productive and fantastic year. For guys that, you know, don't think he had a good year, I mean, 35 home runs in the big leagues, that's pretty good.
That's 35 more than us there, Francisco.
Yeah. Well, and Francisco, not only Pete, but you guys also stole Juan Soto away from the Yankees. One thing you've been very good at, even from your first year with the Mets, is competing against the Yankees at a high level. You better team than the Yankees?
I feel like we are in a really good spot until we go out there and play against them, and we're going to see what's going to happen at the end of the year, you know. Obviously, they made it fair in us last year, but nobody really cares and pay attention to what we did or they did last year. You know, at the end of the day, we got to go out there and get it done this year.
Yeah, I understand that. I respect that answer. I'm just trying to do simple math. Like, you swept them last year head-to-head, and then you stole Juan Soto away, Francisco. Come on! Does it mean something to you to be the premier team in this town?
Well, you got to earn that.
I want to be the best team in the big leagues.
That's a good answer right there.
I want to be the best team in the big leagues. Not just about New York.
That's the answer. That's the answer. But I got a couple of clean here. We'll let you go. As a Yankee fan, you stole our guy, man. You took him fair and square.
We got him. We didn't steal nothing.
Well,
he came. He chose him. The Mets.
He felt like this was the right place for him, so he's here. We're happy to have him.
How's the family, fair Francisco? Enough. Did you do a Disney trip yet?
No, I don't. Disney, the girls are a little too young, so
okay.
Getting lines with Disney right now, it's not fun.
All right, I think,
when they get a little older, I'll definitely do that one.
Yeah, we mentioned that before. I know the family growing and very important to you, and obviously I bring that up because of the Soto aspect, and the Mets very, known for their family now with the Alex Cohen impact. Francisco, we couldn't appreciate your time more. We appreciate it. Good luck. Stay healthy this year, and hopefully you have a great run, an all-star, and maybe another MVP chase as well.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the time.
You got it.
There you have it, Francisco Lindor. Now, look, we do appreciate the time.
Definitely.
I mean, it hasn't been all, I know when he started saying Met fans loved him from the beginning. He loved them, which is true. Like, they wanted that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little rocky in the beginning.
It was a little rocky.
And really not until last year, which was year four. Now, I thought he was better than Met fans gave him credit for the prior years.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, there was really that deep connection.
Yes, there was.
Between the Met fan and Lindor, which is why I wanted to start the interview asking about that.
And that's why I wanted to make sure that I was not going to let that thing turn into a negative thing. Like, I appreciate the pushback. I get it.
But if he was feeling that it was a little negative.
No. I want to have a conversation with you because he is a tremendous player, and I think he's a tremendous person. And I really do. Like, I think that, Lindor, all the conversations we've had, and I'll speak for myself because it predates you as well, and Hoff, you were here for them. My frustration with Lindor's game, never as a person. He's a gem as a person, absolute stud of a human being. Great family guy. Is that the player? I love baseball so much. The player that I was watching with the Mets was not quite the same as the Guardians.
Right.
And people kept telling me that he was. And I'm like, no. I know what I'm watching. And I know what I watched in Cleveland. What I watched last year for the final 3-4 months of the season, that was the player I watched with the Guardians.
He does seem like a no-nonsense guy, though. Right? Like, you try to have some fun with him and joke around a little bit. He's just like, I want to play 162. I want to go out there and win a championship. Like, that's it. It was no, like...
Yeah.
It was nothing other than, I want to play every day. Mm-hmm. I want to win. And that's it. Love the fans. Want to play. If you win, they win.
Like, what else do you want? Isn't that what we all demand? Think about that, Sal.
I get it.
And
maybe
maintenance days and this pitch, six-man rotation. This guy wants to play every day. I love it.
I get it. I respect it. I'm just saying that, I think he takes this seriously and was treating this interview as opposed to like a hangout.
I agree.
Which sometimes we have. It was business-like.
Well, I think he understood some of the opinions that were had on that and some of the conversations that have been had on the station and on this show.
Well, he certainly knows what's been, when he first started here.
I mean, come on. I mean, listen, if we just introduced Francisco Lindor and made it seem like the first year and a half were like the final 4 months last year, that would not be an accurate depiction of what happened. And that's okay. Because, you and I talk about how we mature as men, as husbands, as fathers with girls. And you have a girl, I have a girl.
Yeah.
Certainly dads have a boy as well. We mature. And I think Lindor's matured from his first moments. I know.
Yeah.
When he was with the Mets. And it has gotten consistently better. And I mean this with all sincerity. I mean, I've got profound respect for him because it was close to blowing up on him.
Right.
The amount of money that he makes and the amount of production that was not there that I thought was overstated too often by Met fans, he has now found the balance of being a superstar again and always being a good guy that he's always been. I'm happy we had him on the show.
We appreciate him taking the time to do so. We know there's a lot going on down there, so he took, 20 minutes with us. It was nice to have him. Thank you to Lindor. Thank you to the Mets, and a good job by Hoff setting
that up.
We'll come back with your calls, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Tuesday afternoon, fun to talk to Francisco Lindor. Just had him on. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app as Lindor and the Mets get set for their season almost 2 weeks away, BT.
TikTok.
Mets, Yankees, baseball, both teams should be loaded. Fun to hear Lindor talk about, I was asking him, trying to get him into a Mets versus Yankee thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, you want to be the best team in baseball? And he said that consistently. Last year, even after a great year, we didn't win the championship. That's it. Robotic-like with his, or machine-like with his answers, he's got one goal, and that is to make the Mets the best team. Maybe after that, he could let loose a little bit and say mission accomplished, but he's got one goal in mind. That's to win the whole damn thing for the New York Mets.
He's a singular-minded, very intensely driven professional. I mean, when you play every day, that says volumes and speaks volumes, I should say, about how you look at your craft. The other answer that I thought was, and yeah, you're right, fairly robotic and very locked into his job and his craft. But the other answer to me was what I was joking around. I said, yeah, you stole Soto's. I know we didn't steal him. Yeah. We didn't steal him. Basically, right. He willingly came here. We didn't steal him.
I'm like that
all
answer.
Right, yeah, good correction there. Okay.
I like that answer.
All right, that's a good answer. So he's a baseball player, man.
And how about the idea of him not wanting to rest? I mean, we asked him flat out, like, hey, 162, because he was banged up in the postseason last year. You wouldn't know because he still had the big hit against Atlanta, and obviously he was good in the playoffs, you know, the home run against Philadelphia, but he's dealing with that back issue. We're, to a point, remember, we weren't sure if he was going to play.
Yes, we were not.
Which would have killed the Mets. He was the entire team last year, at least for the most part, and they couldn't live without him, and their most valuable player definitively. So why not throughout the course of 162? I don't want to say take some maintenance days, but maybe a little DH here or there. Very prideful and wanting to play every day.
Yes, and I respect that, but I don't think you necessarily leave that up to him. Maybe one more year like this where you run him out there 158, 159, 160 times. But I mean, let's not be fools here. He's not 25, 26. He's in his early 30s with a lot of money left on that deal. The championship window, whatever it is for the Mets, however long it's going to be, you would imagine he'll be in the middle of it for at least a couple more years for sure. And I think you've got to guard against that, because if it's like Lindor, he's going to go out there every day. So to me, that's more of a Mendoza-Stearns thing, and more so than giving Lindor full latitude to determine when he plays and when he doesn't. I respect it,
right.
But you got to protect him from himself, because he's a gamer. He wants to play every day.
Yeah, and I think the Mets might do that, but also you got to do it to not, you know, you don't want to tick him off either. I mean, he's a leader of the team. He's leading by example. If he says, I want to play, what's Mendoza going to say? No, screw you. You're sitting.
Like, no,
maybe give
like
him a DH.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Slide him over DH a little bit, and maybe in a couple of years he's playing second if he loses. And I mean, in a couple of years. There's ways to save his body, and it's got to be for the betterment of the team. And I think, Lindor's a team guy. As long as it's communicated the right way, whenever it's communicated, like I think Mendoza will properly communicate it, I would venture to guess that Lindor will buy in for the team.
You think he's a Hall of Famer?
Right now, not yet.
Yeah, I'd probably lean that way, but he projects now he's going to be 31 this year.
Mm-hmm.
This will be his age 31 season. How old is he exactly? Right? Yeah, he's 31. Okay, so he turned 31 in November, so he'll be 31 for this season here. He's got...
Let me pop up his numbers.
I know you usually go over the top MVP finishes.
Yep.
He's 2-time Gold Glove, 4-time Silver Slugger, 4-time All-Star. He's really gotten hosed these last couple. It is in part his own fault because of the slow start.
Yeah.
But he still should have been an All-Star at the very least this past season. He should have been a lone All-Star, not Pete Alonso. With Cleveland, BT, he had one top five MVP. He had 2 top 10. He was 6th and then 9th. Or 9th in 2016, and then 6th again in 2018. And then with the Mets, he's had 3 top 10 finishes, believe it or not. MVP 9th the last 2 seasons, and MVP 2nd last year.
Please don't start taking this the wrong way. He's obviously a really good player.
Shortstop, switch hitter, great defender.
Gonna be
very
the captain.
Very good offensive player.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, who knows with that stuff. Not this year, but...
No, I mean, the thing is, you know, you look at his entire career. So this is just about Hall of Fame. And my answer is no. Although he did have a couple of Gold Gloves in Cleveland. Make of it what you will, whatever. But you look at the bold and the italicized.
Not enough there.
There's nothing there except really in terms of games, played appearance. Once he led the league in run score, that was back in 2018. And other than that, and sacrifice flies in his second year, not a single bold. Not OPS, not stolen bases, not average, not on base, not hits, not runs. That he's listen, but I do believe this, like, and this was always my pushback. Mets fans, you have to choose to believe me or don't, and that's fine. Mm. But like if you look at his first couple of years with the Guardians, you know, 44 doubles, 42 doubles, 40 doubles, you know, and just, you know, higher RBI total, stolen bases, just higher average, higher OPS, 870, 850, 840. If those were transferred to his first couple of years with the Mets, there's no doubt he's a Hall of Famer. And that was the essence of my frustration with Lindor.
I get it. Also, now you would say that he's set up better than he's ever been set up before. This will no doubt be the best team that he's been a part of, not just with the Mets, but in his career.
Yeah.
And the best lineup that he's been. I know Cleveland had some good teams, but you got Juan Soto hitting behind you.
Yep.
You got Alonso and Vientos following that.
It's go time.
He's the leadoff guy.
It's go time.
I would think that this is going to be, like, if not now, when is he going to have a career year? Meaning, add some bold potentially. Hey, look, it's tough to say you're going to beat out
Ohtani
for the MVP.
Yeah, one of those guys.
But still, Lindor.
Be an all-star.
He already,
and be a layup all-star where you're hitting, you know, 290 in May and you've got, you know, 11, 12 home runs in the open. Like, start off well.
I mean, he really did get screwed, though, at least 2 of the last 3 years. And I really think 3 years. He should have been an all-star, BT. Now, part of that is a slow start, so he's got to leave no doubt. And have a decent start, be an all-star and then start to go with it. But I think you're talking about a player who is going to be one of the great, like we always talk about, oh, Alonso could be the greatest position player ever for the Mets, or now Soto, because he's going to be here 15 years, and maybe Soto is. Maybe Alonso, if he extends here, who knows? But Lindor's going to be in that conversation. He's going to probably have his number retired and will probably be one of the great position players in franchise history and, in all likelihood, a Hall of Famer when all said and done.
I don't push back on that. I think he and Beltran are the two best all-around players. Yeah. I really, you know, Pete obviously deficient in some areas. And Piazza Straw. Couldn't run. Straw was
Wright,
there as well.
I know you love Wright.
Love David Wright. Yeah. Those are the three, I would say. Wright, Beltran, and Lindor. You know, I don't get too wrapped up in the all-star stuff, but this is where it does impact certain players. And who knows, maybe he gets into the Hall of Fame anyway. But, like, you look, all right, he's a four-time All-Star. Well, I don't know if he deserved two or three, certainly one with these Mets here. And suddenly, but let's say it was two. Four becomes six. And let's say he makes it this year. Like, you know, it adds up. And when you look at the totality of somebody's career, whether it's Gold Gloves where he has two, yeah. You know, he could have won it this year. Maybe could have won it last year. He didn't. And instead of finishing with two, you finish with four or five. Instead of being a four-time All-Star, you're an eight-time All-Star. Yeah. And now all of a sudden it's easier to justify, even though he's the same player. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get back to your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the fan on this Tuesday. Started the show talking about quarterbacks with the Jets agreeing to a deal with Justin Fields and the Giants still not having a quarterback, but some more have come off the board, or more in particular, some teams have made some decisions. Daniel Jones goes to the Colts. That was the big news of the day. Vikings saying that J.J. McCarthy is going to be their starter, which means Aaron Rodgers, BT, will come down to, you would think, based on the reports and some common sense here, Giants or the Steelers. And if the Giants don't get Rodgers, then maybe they pivot to Russell Wilson as their plan C. Some talk about Joe Milton. We had that conversation before, whether they would trade for him or not. Is it going to be Russell Wilson and then Cam Ward? Who knows? But there's a chance here. Excuse me. There's a chance here if Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh and Russell Wilson goes elsewhere, then maybe the Giants don't have a quarterback.
Let me ask you this. What do you think Rodgers' main motivation is at this point? Is it to be a small cog in the wheel of winning or to go somewhere, in his mind, light it up, independent of results, and show the rest of the world that he's still a star quarterback?
I think it's a great question. I think the latter. I think Rodgers wants to go show the world he could still be a star quarterback and win.
And win.
Yes. You're saying one or the other, like go to the Giants and light it up.
Well, yeah. Like,
no,
if you go
I think
to the,
he wants to win a Super Bowl. Like,
okay, I probably do too, but if you go to the Steelers, you know, you're going to be run-oriented, not throw it as much. You'll win some more games than the Giants. Maybe they let him throw a little bit more
I don't think he's chasing individual accolades. I really don't believe that. Although, you know, I'm sure he'd love to win another MVP and really stick it to people, but even so, wouldn't you think that they all kind of lead to the same place? Don't you think it's more likely Rodgers wins an MVP with the Steelers than he does with the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I do. I think that's
because
a very
have
easy
more
question.
Success, right?
Yes, that's an easy question.
The Giants trying to sell him on Malik Nabers, saying he'd fit in real well with Malik. Yeah, sure, but the Giants stink.
Just the way they position. Who had that report? Was that Garofalo?
Yes, I believe. I read that
I
on
like
social
Mike.
Media. I think it was a clip that was on NFL Network. I just read the headline or whatever.
When they transcribed it. Mike does a good job. Let me see. I mean, but is that's the way the Giants are selling their organization to Rodgers? We think you're going to vibe with Malik Nabers?
And then at least in part,
is that really what they're doing?
What else?
That's the pitch?
What else do they have?
I don't know, man.
Hey, look, we have Malik Nabers.
Here's the pitch. Yeah. We ain't the Jets.
Yeah, well, right. I mean,
that's the pitch,
but they might be worse at this point.
No, I know. It's
oddly
true.
Enough.
Yeah.
Might be worse. Same building, same crappy team. Maybe even worse, as a matter of fact, because they don't have as much talent. Look, who knows? Maybe the Giants shocked the world. I just think that's a bad situation for both Rodgers and for the Giants. And you'd have to think that if all things are equal, for Rodgers to make a decision where he doesn't care about money, it's not money at this point. And I don't think he cares where he lives necessarily. I mean, maybe a part of that, sure, but he did the New York thing. Like,
yeah.
All right, so big deal. You go in Pittsburgh for a year. The Steelers have a better coach. They have a better organization. They have a better roster. They have a better chance to win. They have better weapons. I mean, you can say what you want about Malik Nabers. The Steelers just traded for DK Metcalf.
Yeah, and I know he's all about winning, and you're probably right, but you know, we can't quantify this because we're not in his mind, but, I mean, he's 41. Does he really feel like moving? I don't know.
I know you say that, but again, moving for know. Him is a
I
lot
know.
Easier.
I get it. Pay somebody to do everything, but well, you still well, got to move.
All right, well, you asked me, but what do you think is his primary goal in life right now as far as football goes?
I think he wants to be happy. I think he wants to be fulfilled in the sense that he came back from a debilitating injury that very few quarterbacks come back from. And regain their full powers, if you will. And I think by the end, yeah, I know he would like to win, but I think by the end of the season, he wants the football world to know that he's still a star throwing the ball.
Fair enough. I mean, I could see that. You can make that argument. I think his primary goal is to play. He wants to play.
Well, he's going to play with the Giants.
Well, I mean, for how long, depending on Cam Ward, depending on if they're out of it. If the Steelers say, hey, you're going to be our starting quarterback, even if the Giants say that, we all know the reality that the Giants likely aren't going to be a playoff team, and likely by the end of the season, if not in the middle of the season, people will be like, dude, Rodgers, let's just get to Cam Ward and call it a day, move on already. God, with the Steelers, Rodgers is going to be the guy. Outside of injury, probably. I would think that they're signing him to be the guy to go try to win a Super Bowl.
You never know what they're going to do out there. I know that he's better than, you know, Justin Fields in terms of throwing the football, but Justin Fields was playing pretty well for them, and then Tomlin sat him down, whatever. So even if they made some assurances to Aaron Rodgers, maybe that wouldn't necessarily stick. I don't know. All I know is the Giants are in a spot where they're just trying to scamper for a seat. And by the way, Sal, we didn't even mention this because we've been so busy with the other stuff. And if you missed the Lindor chat, pre-Odyssey app, just had him on. It was great. Great to have him on. Just hit rewind. Get up to speed with that. Did you see the money that Zach Wilson got from the Dolphins?
What was it? 1 year? How much?
It could be up to $10 million.
Yeah, I did not see
He's
that.
The number two quarterback behind Tua. He's not number three. He's number two. Oh, and Tua gets hurt a lot.
Yeah, you're going to set up at least one game with Zach playing against the Jets this year.
I want to see it. I want to see it. I want it.
Who are you going to root for?
Well, you know, my team. But
I know you love
it's
your
a tough
guy,
call. Yeah. Zach. Playoff with Zach.
Yeah, right.
I wish it was a different team because I still believe, and he's got some weapons out there. McDaniel's an offensive guy. Like, if he would have gone to the Rams or maybe stayed with the Broncos if their starter got hurt or Minnesota to back up, whatever. Like, I'm not going to say I still think he could be good, but I'm still curious to get the final answer. Or if he could, can he look functional with a guy who knows what he's doing as a coach and an OC? I still think he could.
And weapons all over the place. Yeah. I would be curious to see that too with Zach Wilson. Let's get to the calls, BT. Leo in Brooklyn talking about Francisco Lindor we just had on. What's up, Leo?
Hey, Leo.
Okay, Leo is not there. Chris is in Tinton Falls. Chris wants to talk about the state of the Giants. What's up, Chris?
What's cooking, boys? Hey, real quick on Lindor. I'm more of a Yankee fan, but I got to tell you, he's refreshing. He is just a ball player, man. You got to like the way he's kind of robotic, but I dug his attitude, like a little bit of attitude with him, but mainly just want to win. If I'm Sal, if I'm you as a Met fan, I dig that. That's pretty cool. With regards to the Yankees, or Giants rather, I look at this and it's like, what is their plan, dude? Every move right now seems so contradictory. And I blame Mara for this. Ultimately, he neutered these guys. I wouldn't have brought them back. By giving that pseudo edict, you get moves where they don't invest in safeties, but now they're overpaying for another safety. They wouldn't do it for their own guys, be it Love or McKinney. Hey, Slayton's a nice player, but you're paying as much as you paid for Barkley. It's just inconsistent. And now Rodgers seems like a preservation move.
Yeah, I mean, look, Rodgers, and thank you for the call, Chris. Rodgers at this point, after the Jets just did what they did, Rodgers at this point for the Giants, to me, it just reeks of desperation. The Giants are dying to put a team together that can be competent this year to appease ownership. And really, it should be the goal. Like, it's not just because Mr. Mara wants to win. Obviously, you should try to win every year, but it's gotten so bad that they have to win some games this year. Otherwise, Dable and Shane, at least one of them, are going to be gone. So what's the best way to do that? Go chase Matthew Stafford, who's the known commodity. Stafford's off the board. Who's the next best thing? They think Aaron Rodgers, while also having to have an eye on drafting a quarterback and developing him. I don't know how you could do all of that in one season. To me,
you can't.
Right. So to me, their fate has already been, we said this at the end of last year.
We're going to push them off the plank already? Yeah, well, official?
You know how this ends.
It ends?
We know how it ends. It's just
probably not
of,
well.
Just a matter of time. Yeah, not well. They had their chance last year to change course in the draft. They chose to double down or triple down on Daniel Jones and select Malik Nabers in a quarterback-heavy draft.
Knowing that this was not a quarterback-heavy draft. And if they did a modicum of homework, so, which I'm sure they did.
So they basically chose Daniel Jones
over
all the other options.
Mm-hmm.
That failed. There's no way that they could recover from that. And maybe the only way would be if they draft Cam Ward and he turns out to be a stud immediately. Like, not week one, but week eight or whatever it may be. That's the only way that I believe Shane and Dable can be saved here for their future.
It's not unsalvageable, but the options are dwindling. And one of the only options that could save jobs and inject juice back into the Giants would be Cam Ward.
I mean,
and Sanders, I guess, for some. Not for me, but certainly Cam. So that's still out there. Let's be fair, and that's what we always try to do. Like, it's not week one, and it's not like they did, you know, there's still a draft to come. And maybe they will draft that quarterback. I mean, they need to draft a quarterback somewhere. And maybe they get it right. But right now, the options just start to dry up pretty fast.
BT and Sal on the Fan will continue the conversation when we come back. 888-808-1019.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.